delivery box for Perry Pear.
Thank you, Medlars. That must be my Tai Chi uniform.
Tai Chi uniform, Perry Pear? Aren't we going to Oakland?
Yes, Rhea, I know that, of course. But I'll also be going to the morning Tai Chi class in Madison Park in the Chinese section of Oakland. Not too far from SatterCon.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. We were there in July. It's this outdoor scene where everybody's practicing Tai Chi. It was beautiful when we were there.
Yes, and I made many friends. And this time I'll be teaching a special class on defending against a paring knife.
Now I've heard everything.
Me too, Mr. Quince. Me too. Well, Perry, I guess when you're a talking palm, it's good to know how to defend against a paring knife. That'll be interesting.
I want to come too.
Of course, Medlars, you are most welcome.
It sounds like a plan. Well, let's start telling everybody what's going on at Oakland, and maybe they'll want to come to the Tai Chi session at Madison Park too. It's not too far from CiderCon. But in the meanwhile, we're going to get on with the show. Hit it, Mr. Quince.
Roger that. This is episode 209, and you are listening to Cider Chat.
Hello and welcome to Cider Chat. My name is Rhea Windcaller, and I am the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast, where we speak with makers, cider enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. As you may have guessed, we are headed to Oakland, California for the annual trade conference put on by the American Cider Association. And on this episode, we're looking at everything from what to wear to CiderCon, considering you're going to be in California, how to get around Oakland, California, from the airport to the different events, and what's happening in the city. There's a lot. So we'll get to that straight away, but first, a wee bit of news out and about in Ciderville. Alrighty, so this week we're looking at the CiderCon tips. If any of you are going to CiderCon, this is going to be super helpful. And if you're not going to CiderCon, I think it will also be super informative too, to give you an idea of how far the reach is for the American Cider Association and all that they're doing for their members. And also outside of the U.S., because they always have a special guest. And the guest makers this year are from Ireland. And that's a really cool thing, I think, for the Irish makers. In fact, the next episode that I have queued up is with Daniel Emerson of Stonewell Cider. This is an Irish maker. I met Daniel back in 2016 at the International Hall of Gala Apples in Asturias. And we've always wanted to sit down. So I had the privilege of sitting down with him in Chicago in 2019 and recording the chat that I'll be going live with next week. That recording is going to be posted early. That's my goal. So that anyone kind of making their way to CiderCon in Oakland will be prepared to meet the Irish cider makers and have a little bit more background info about what they're doing there. They actually have an association. It's called Cider Ireland, and there's some cool stuff going on. So that's my queue of episodes right now. We have this week's episode about the tips for CiderCon. Next week, Stonewell and Cider Ireland. And then I have this little week before I head to France for Cider Expo. Cider Expo is taking place on the 13th, 14th, and 15th of February, because it's always Valentine's Day in France. So I'm going to be there in France, in Caen. I'll be staying with Etienne Dupont of Domaine Dupont and attending the workshops and really kind of diving into that scene there and spending actually a couple weeks in France gearing up for the next Totally Cider tour. So I'll be taking you along on all that. I'm not sure how regularly my scheduled episodes will be going out. There probably will be some Cider Chat live episodes. If you don't know what that is, that's kind of like an extra feed. I use via the Anchor app. I post Cider Chat Live, and it's kind of goes right to like real-time postings of what's going on, usually for me and my connections out there in Ciderville. So I'm super stoked for being in this first quarter of 2020, but I tell you, I'm trying to catch my breath. There's a lot to do and a lot of packing. So without further delay, we're going to go right into the tips for CiderCon. And I would recommend that you grab your glass and just sit back and enjoy the ride.
Walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Well, you know, I'll be kicking up my feet when I'm in Oakland, California, and probably dancing in the streets, too. It has happened before. And because of that, we want to be talking about the weather and what to wear. Looks like we're going to be like in the 60s, low 60s throughout CiderCon. And for anybody coming from my spot of Ciderville in New England, that's going to feel super warm to us because it's about 25 degrees outside right now where I live. If you're a Californian, you're probably wearing a down jacket because 60 degrees is cold to anyone from California. And the other thing to know about that area is that it could be a little bit changeable. So expect warm during the day and then getting chilly at night. Not over the top chilly, but I always throw in a warm cap to wear in the evening if I'm going to be kind of, you know, bopping around a little bit, and some layers. I think it'll be fine. It's not going to be like going to Chicago where you have to be in like a parka and bringing potential snow boots. I don't think you can leave your snow boots at home and just enjoy the weather. It's going to be spectacular. In fact, some of you might want to bring your sunscreen. If you're not driving to CiderCon, it's most likely that you're flying to CiderCon like myself. And there are three airports that you may have selected to fly into. Let's start with the closest, which is the Oakland Airport. And the Oakland Airport's about 30 minutes from the Marriott. You could take a taxi, you could take Uber, and you could also take Lyft, which is a rideshare service. If you choose to do Lyft and you've never signed up for that before, make sure to put in promo code Lyft Cider Chat, all one word. Lyft is spelled L-Y-F-T, and then it's Cider Chat. That's the program that you're listening to right now. One other option is public transportation, and this area has a great, if you will, a metro system called BART. Like Bart Simpson is spelled B-A-R-T. It's been around for quite a while, and there is a regular service right to the Marriott stop, and that only costs $2.60 and takes about 30 minutes to do. So I think that's probably a good choice. And you get off at the stop, it's only about a 1 minute walk to the Marriott. So that's a pretty good choice, definitely. Let's say that you can only get a flight into San Francisco Airport, which I often use when I'm going out to visit my family. A big airport, in this case, you're going to have to find your way. As always, just like in Oakland, you have to find your way to the BART stop. And that's pretty easy. There's lots of signs. Just use, you know, your little Google Map app to do the public transportation. It's going to be the same amount of money. I think it's $2.60 for that too. And it'll take you about an hour. So it's very doable. And if you're in San Jose, I think you have to get onto the Caltrain and then get to the BART station. Again, it's all doable, so don't sweat it. You're going to be able to do it. If you're renting a car, typically you could rent in one location and drop it off at another up in that area without having to pay an extra fee for that one-way drop-off. Now, the BART system is going to be really popular for anybody wanting to go from the Marriott, let's say, over to San Francisco. Again, it's only $2.60. But what I really want to talk about, besides BART, is the ferry ride that goes across the bay. Now, if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you know that I am a huge fan of visiting a city and getting on the water as soon as possible to kind of, it grounds me. It's beautiful. It just puts everything in perspective. And there is a fantastic Right. It's actually a commuter ferry that goes from the Jack London Square in Oakland over to the ferry station in San Francisco. And both areas are really, really nice and really convenient to do this. Shoot, you know, you could walk down to the Jack London Square. It's only about, I don't know, like 11-minute walk or something. Although you're going to have to watch out. And I won't know until I arrive there if it is a direct walk, because you kind of go underneath the highway and it could be a little sketchy around there, the pedestrian scene and stuff. So you might want to take the bus down to the Jack London Square. But either case, the ferry goes across the San Francisco Bay, and it is one heck of a spectacular view. You'll get to see the Golden Gate Bridge in the distance. If you're traveling in the twilight hours, you'll get to see like the lights coming on. It's breathtaking, and it doesn't take that long. And then over on the San Francisco side, you're going to this really historical stop. It's a groovy scene. You get out the ferry station, and there is like all this like little market scene in the building, and outside people are skateboarding, and you'll see it's a place where all the trams are coming in for public transportation. It's really accessible. Shoot, I just take that boat ride just because I like going back and forth. It's that good. The cost for the ferry one way is $7.20. You could get something called the Clipper Card. You'd have to download that app, and it would cost you about $5 and change. But you have to keep about $5 and change on that card. And if you're just visiting the city this like one time until like a couple years out, I wouldn't recommend it. Just shove out the money. It's going to cost you in total $15, but it's going to be probably one of the images that you will really remember in your visit there. And anybody who wants to go on a ferry ride, contact me when you're at the conference and let me know. I'd love to go on with you because it'd just be so much fun to drink some ciders on the boat and toast the Golden Gate Bridge and then walk around a bit and, you know, see what trouble we could get into. Again, it's that much fun. And at the Jack London Square, you're actually a stone's throw away from Crooked City Cider and Tap Room. That is right on the main road of, I think it's Broadway. And so if you went out the front door of Crooked City and looked to your left, you would see this arch that says Jack London Square. So it's all that close, which really makes it super easy to get around. I love that part. And because the weather's going to be so nice, it's going to be really, really easy to do. So plan for that. Make yourself get out and explore some of the area, because every time you do explore it, it informs us on the culture, the terroir. And what I mean by terroir is like the landscape, the place that you're in. Just breathe that in. It's going to be, I can't wait. Okay. I digress. I'll be right back. We're going to talk food next and what's around the Marriott, particularly morning food, because in the evening there's a lot going on. You're going to probably be out at the different cider bars and different dinners. But in the morning, we all need some good coffee. We might have a little bit more sustenance too, if you will. So I'm going to give you three different options to consider, all within walking distance of the Marriott, to kind of get you up, breathing in that beautiful California scene. The first one is a 5-minute walk, and that's Awaken Cafe. A little bit further out is Beauty's Bagel Shop, and that's a 10-minute walk from the Marriott. So you'd get bagels and coffee. And then there's Farley's Coffee, and that's a little bit further afield, about 16 minutes or so, which isn't bad for a nice, good morning walk. Kind of get you grooving and getting ready for the day ahead. You know, being in a hotel all day in California, it could be like, oh, I got to get out. So start right in the morning, head out. And you might also want to consider a walk into the Chinatown area of Oakland, which isn't too far away. That's about a 15-minute walk to Madison Park, which Perry Pear is, I guess, Perry, you're going to be teaching a class there or taking a class on defense against a paring knife?
Yes, indeed, Rhea, I will. paring knife techniques. It should be on any one of those mornings you'll see me there in my Tai Chi uniform.
Oh, these pears.
Well, now hang on, Mr. Quince. Consider this. If you're a talking palm and you're going to a cider conference with over 1,000 cider makers and you are a peri pear or a quince or a medlar for that matter, I guess knowing some techniques to get away from a paring knife is probably a good idea.
You would think that they know I am peri pear.
Well, I think that's the point, Perry. They do know you're peri pear, and peri pears make really good poré.
Not the same, Rhea, as I am a very particular peri pear.
You got that right.
Okay, Poms. Well, anyways, the main thing that we want everyone out there in Ciderville to know is if you're in Oakland, it's a foodie town. There's lots of choices. And, you know, why not start the morning kind of digging in the scene with a gangsta lean and then heading back to the hotel, because there's going to be a lot happening, which we'll be talking about next with none other than Michelle McGrath, the executive director of the American Cider Association. This was pre-recorded in December of 2019, where Michelle and I were talking about CiderCon in Oakland. So let's roll it. Take it away, Mr. Quince.
Roger that.
Hi, my name is Michelle McGrath, and I am the executive director of the U.S. Association of Cider Makers, and we put on CiderCon.
And this year, Michelle, it's in Oakland, California.
It is. Everybody has been requesting someplace warm for several years, so we finally decided to go back to the West Coast. We're excited to be in Oakland, California. It's an up-and-coming culinary scene.
Yeah, and there's so much cider happening, too, around that area. The cider, the food, the people, and, of course, the sunshine.
Absolutely. Yes, our special guests are from Ireland this year. We've been coordinating with Daniel Emerson of Stonewell Cider, who's also part of the Cider Ireland, which is their association to promote Irish cider. So we're excited to have them come. We're also really thrilled to be bringing back the half-day orcharding seminar. We're going to be focusing on issues that are specific to orcharding in the West. So questions about climate and water use and some of these things that are specific to having an orchard in, a drought climate. So we're excited to bring that back on Wednesday. The tours are what's a really neat opportunity this year. I mean, as you mentioned, there's a lot of great ciders in the area around where CiderCon's happening, but it also happens to overlap pretty nicely with some famous wine country, and you'll notice often if there's good wine being made there, there's probably good cider being made there too. So I'm really excited about the tours.
Yeah, I have the tours going up to Sonoma. And then just around the area of Oakland and San Francisco. And, of course, I'm going to be leading a tour down south, down to the Pajaro Valley, which is like the Santa Cruz County area in San Jose.
Last year at CiderCon, we featured a tour about cider and food pairing. It was built on the principles that we teach as part of our Certified Cider Professional Program. We use these theories for food pairing called the 4 C's. So we talked a lot about how to pair food and cider. And we did it in a way that showed off a lot of the Chicago food scene and also the Chicago cider scene. Well, the Bay Area is the perfect place to do this again. So now we can show off some California cider and talk about California terroir and cuisine and how to make cider food pairings that really help that sing. So the cider and food pairing tour is really great for anybody that runs a tap room or is in charge of maybe coordinating specialty events for their cidery, or it's really great for anybody that's in retail and needs to make recommendations to customers. And we highly recommend people that want to take the certified pommelier exam participate in that tour, because we definitely notice that the test takers who take the tour do better on the essay questions related to cider and food pairing because they had that prep.
Mm.
And there will be a chance to take the certified pommelier exam at CiderCon Oakland.
That's right. Yeah, that's going to be on Wednesday, isn't it?
Correct.
So folks going on the tours, they want to arrive on Monday, and that's the 27th of January, so they could go to the tour. Everybody's leaving in the morning on Tuesday.
We have an afternoon tour happening this year for the first time because we wanted to create space for folks that were arriving on Tuesday morning to still participate in a tour. And I'm really excited about this panel that's come together. We're calling it the California Apple History Panel, but that name doesn't do it justice because we're talking about the history of Albert Eder and what he did for orcharding and apples in Northern California. And we've got a great panel that includes the horticultural manager for the Filoli Historic House and Gardens, which is a nonprofit orchard very close to Oakland. We've got Tom Hart from Humboldt Cider. He's done a lot of research about Albert Eder and his apples. We've got the horticulturalist for the National Park Service, Keith Park, coming. And then we have Daniel Bussey from Lost Orchard Project and author of the Illustrated History of Apples in the United States and Canada. So if you're really excited about orcharding and apples, this is going to be a really great tour. And it's unique because it's only half a day, so it doesn't cost as much time and it doesn't cost as much money. We are going to have some tastings of ciders as part of that. That are like Tilted Shed has a cider that they made with Filoli apples. And we're going to add some ciders that are made with apples that were cultivated by Albert Eder. So I'm really excited about that particular tour. I think it's something different that we haven't done before.
You have just sold out that tour. It sounds great, really great. And folks who aren't going on the tour, they could always hang out with Charles McGonigal. He's going to be doing his Elements of Cider too.
Yeah, it's a CiderCon classic. It's a good opportunity to, you know, kind of self-evaluate. How do I taste cider? I think everybody learns something from that. And you know, I've taken that sort of shortened version of that class a couple times, and I walk away with something new every time. So it's also another really good way to prepare yourself for the Pommelier exam.
Mm-hmm. Now this year, the TTB team is going to be there. Is that true? I see that there's an in-depth look at the TTB regulations. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Rhea, as long as the government doesn't shut down at the end of the year, the TTB will be there. So we'll keep our fingers crossed that they can come. They come whenever they can to talk about the details of permits and certificates of label approval, or COLAs for short, and taxes. So these are three big areas of managing your cidery. And even there are people that have been making cider for a really long time, and they go to the TTB workshop every year because the policies are changing and evolving, and it's not always clear what is new. Just based on TTB regulations. And there have been some pretty major issues with label approval that have developed in the last year or so. And USACM is talking to the TTB to try and clarify that. But I anticipate there may be some updates to COLA regulations in particular at CiderCon this year.
And for the listeners who aren't commercial makers, can you just explain what COLA is to them?
A COLA is a certificate of label approval. If you're making a cider that's above 7% ABV, you are required by law to have your label approved. And there are many do's and don'ts that come with getting your label approved.
Great. At CiderCon this year, there's the TTB team, of course. And then there's going to be a couple workshops with attorneys. I see that there's one, of course, with the trademark law for cideries with Kevin Regan. He's an IP. Is that intellectual property attorney? Is that what that means for IP attorney?
Correct. That's his specialty.
Okay, great. So that sounds like that's really worthwhile because that's a kind of a hot topic, and something that people could kind of not think about. They love making cider, but they're not thinking about intellectual property. So that's nice to kind of fine tune that. And then you also have returning this year. I think last year he was a speaker. And let's see, who is that? Oh, that's Mark Sorini.
Mark Sorini is a well-respected beverage attorney at one of the most respected beverage firms in the country. And he's been a speaker at CiderCon for many years. Mark is actually retiring, which is good for Mark. We're excited for him. So he and Alpha are coming to CiderCon together. Alpha has been recruited to fill Mark's very big shoes by their firm. And they're going to be presenting on some of the regulatory ins and outs of marijuana and marijuana extractions in relation to the beverage space.
So that should be pretty interesting. Another kind of hot topic that keeps on coming up in different sectors of the cider world, at least in the U.S. from what I could see. For folks coming to CiderCon for the first time, is there any advice that you might have as the executive director for, you know, new people to the market or people who are trying to think about becoming a startup cider maker? Any advice that you recommend in terms of attending CiderCon?
Yeah, there's two things that folks who are attending CiderCon for the first time can do to enhance the probability of having really valuable networking conversations with experienced cider makers where they're walking away with advice and they just are thinking, oh my gosh, that was such a valuable 10-minute conversation. One is to be active on the app. So last year was the first time we had a conference app, and we're going to be bringing that back again. And if you're active on the app, you can message people directly through the app and say, hey, I'd really like to ask you a couple questions. And you know, one of the pieces of feedback that we get about CiderCon is that everybody there is willing to help. So the more experienced cider companies are willing to answer your questions. So don't be afraid to reach out to them directly on the app and just ask folks if you can pick their brain for a few minutes. I think that's entirely part of the CiderCon culture and one of the things that makes CiderCon so great. The other thing that I highly recommend is that you stay at the hotel. You know, we have relationships with the hotel that allow us to keep CiderCon affordable. So I'm being transparent. Like that's definitely one of the reasons I have that piece of advice. But the conversations that happen at the hotel bar late at night and at the parties in people's rooms and various other informal networking opportunities happen for the most part at the hotel. That's where you're going to have the highest opportunity to bump into someone with valuable information for you. So those are my two tips.
Absolutely. And in terms of the app, it's fantastic. I love that app. Okay. So Michelle, let's talk about the beginning of CiderCon and some of the keynote speakers that you're going to be having.
We are really excited this year to feature a keynote speaker. In the past, we've had some great presentations by Nielsen. They're still going to be presenting their data, but they're going to be doing it as a regular seminar. So for the first time ever, we are opening up CiderCon on Thursday morning with a keynote speaker. And we are going to be tasting cider on Thursday morning. And not only are we going to be tasting cider, but we are going to be pairing it with cheese. So we're going to be demonstrating a little bit of that terroir matching. We're going to have some Central California cheese and some Central California cider for breakfast on Thursday morning to kick us off. The speaker is the co-founder of Point Reyes Creamery. Her name is Jill Giacomini Bosch. I'm sure I butchered that name, but Jill is, you know, has a very similar story to a lot of cider makers. She inherited a family farm. It was a dairy farm. What do you do to make a dairy farm viable in today's food economy? Well, you make cheese. And they've been extremely successful. And I think it's a lot of, you know, potential inspiration for people that are maybe going to inherit their parents' orchard. How do they add value to that orchard? They should consider making cider.
Fantastic. Oh, I look forward to that. And I really feel like every year CiderCon just continues to get better and better, and you're kind of up in your game here in that way that celebrates cider throughout the entire conference and isn't afraid to kind of like have people sip and sip responsibly as always. But, you know, it's all about knowing the beverage. And I really want to, you know, tip my glass to you and to the team that you work with and everyone on the board for just bringing together such an amazing trade conference for, you know, I looked at your mission for the United States Association of Cider Makers and said you focus at helping the U.S. market, but in truth, the association really helps the world market too. And I think this annual conference is a perfect example of how you bring so many worlds together. So thank you so much for doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we are a volunteer-run engine, so I really have to shout out to the volunteers. And this year, we're really excited to have the Cider Institute of North America partnering with us on creating the production track for CiderCon. So there's going to be some really fascinating technical talks that I think is definitely upping our game in that arena this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I also kind of like, on the same note, you're having that workshop with Darlene Hayes about being small.
Yes, we definitely try to create content that's appropriate for small cideries where growth is perhaps not part of their business model. And Darlene did a great job of moderating that conversation last year, and we're excited to kind of have part two of that conversation and offer it again.
Well, now you know what I recommended. Three different coffee places nearby the Marriott, because there's going to be so much cider, starting with cider in the morning at 9 a.m. when Jill from the Point Reyes Farmstead Cheese Company is serving cider and cheese. Yeah, you're going to want to be awake and be able to really get in on that. For those of us arriving in Oakland from the East Coast, we're like, you know, 3 hours early. So 9 o'clock in the morning is like our 12 in the afternoon. It's going to be easy, really easy for us, I suppose. But we'll all be up late. Oh, my goodness. I am going off on a tangent here. Anyways, I want to put out a couple things for you to think about. On Tuesday, the tours are going out. And as somebody who's leading the tour, I just want to say I really recommend, you know, throw an extra sandwich in your bag when you go on the tour. There's nothing like having a little bit of food to ground you, and there's going to be a lot of cider to be drinking, and you know, you never know what it's going to be like on the bus, and there's traffic in California, so just kind of take care of yourself that way. Even though there might be a lunch included, I really recommend have a little bit of food for yourself, so pack an extra sandwich. Definitely bring your own bottle of water that you could refill throughout. Well, while you're flying there in the airports, and just keep away from plastic waste. I've already downloaded the conference app, and I'm looking at the schedule right now. And one of the things I want to talk to you about on the schedule is that on Wednesday, there's going to be a Palm Boots Society meeting. And that's from 1 to 3. They did it last year. They're doing it again this year. And the speaker is going to be Susanna Forbes. I have spoken a lot about Susanna Forbes because she's one of my sheroes. You know, she's somebody I really look up to because she's a fantastic writer. She wrote the book, The Cider Insider, and it's all about really well-crafted ciders around the world. And maybe she'll be having some books that she's bringing to CiderCon. I sure hope so. And at Palm Boots, I understand she's going to be speaking about Cider Women, which is a new UK-based group. So I'm looking forward to that, and I know there's going to be like a cider share there. And then right at 4 p.m. is one of my most favorite events on Wednesday afternoon, is the Welcome Reception. And that goes from 4 to 6:30, and that's a time where you're just going around with like, here, try this, here, try this. And there's all these folks set up pouring cider, and it's really a fun time, and it gets everybody in a good spirit. Then we go on to Thursday and Friday with tons of workshops. I can't even tell you, like, the breadth of knowledge that's going to be shared at CiderCon is going to be through the roof, and I am stoked for it. So make sure you get the app, and I also recommend that you download a hard copy of the schedule. This is something I've done every year to just plan what I'm going to do. Because during the day, we have CiderCon, but it also coincides, of course, with a Cider Week, and that is the Bay Area Cider Week, which begins January 25th and runs through February 1st. When I come back, we're going to go over some of the Bay Area Cider Week events to consider on your trip to Oakland, California.
Yes, we do. We like cider. We like palms. We like orchards. And having fun, there is a reason. There is a reason why we do it like this. There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh, no.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
So yes, there is.
There is a reason.
Yes, there is a reason why we do it like this. It's because cider is fun. And in case you didn't know, that is my cousin Jay and myself singing the song We Like Cider. And at the end of this here episode, you'll be able to sing along with the full song in its all its glory. Now let's get on to some of the fun stuff happening in the Bay Area during CiderCon and in what they are calling the Bay Area Cider Week. It kicks off on January 25th with a wassail, and this is actually not in the Bay Area, but down in Santa Cruz, but you know, everybody's sneaking in some fun events all over the map, and that's going to be happening in Santa Cruz. It kicks off at 6 o'clock at a fun Irish pub in Santa Cruz. It's the Poet and Patriot Irish Pub. Then all through the rest of the week, you know, from Cider Making 101 to Cider Olympics to a number of cider dinners throughout the Bay Area. There's going to be a dinner with Tag and Jug. And Tag and Jug is a new, kind of a new cidery in the Bay Area. And it's located at an interesting spot. I mean, it doesn't look like they're going to have the actual dinner at the cidery, because the cidery is located on Treasure Island. And if you're driving over the Bay Area Bridge, or the Bay Bridge, from San Francisco to Oakland, there's an island in between the two areas called Treasure Island, which just has a certain fun mystique, and it looks kind of cool as you're driving by. And that's where Tag and Jug, their production site, is located. And then, you know, the list goes on and on. One of the things I want to really stress here is, look at this Bay Area Cider Week events now, plan it accordingly, and know that it's going to be happening. There's things to do. There's places to go to. Reach out to somebody at CiderCon and find out if they're doing something, if you could tag along. That's the only way to kind of do it. If you get engaged, people are most likely in Ciderville are going to typically say, in my experience, yeah, come on along with us. And Crooked City is a walk from CiderCon, but the second cider bar, remember, is Redfield Cider Bar and Bottle Shop, and that you will have to take the BART from the Marriott or a ride service of sorts. And that is a smaller venue, so, you know, plan ahead because it could get kind of packed in there. And I know they're going to be trying to accommodate as much as possible. So if you're arriving early, I recommend get out to the Redfield Cider Bar early to experience it, because once the streets start flooding with cider in Oakland, it's going to get super busy. Really, really fun time ahead. Well, I think that's a wrap, Palms. I think it's going to be time to kind of finish up this here episode and start packing in earnest for CiderCon.
I already have my uniform in my luggage.
How about you, Mr. Quince? Are you ready?
Quinces are born ready.
Okay, I figure they are, right. Well, I think that's it, unless there's something else that I forgot to mention.
You didn't tell them everything, did you?
Oh, I know what you're talking about, Medlars. Well, yeah, there is going to be kind of like a special thing at CiderCon, from what I understand, but I we'll talk about it when we come back from Oakland. How's that?
But I'm very excited.
No, well, hang on to your hats. We have to keep some surprises for the conference itself, okay?
Okay.
Great. Well, then I think that's about it. Cue it up, Mr. Quince. This is Real Wind Caller and the Talking Palms. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
at Palms. We love orchards and having fun. There is a reason.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh, yes, there is.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh, yes, there is.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Oh, yes, there is. There is a reason. We like walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet. We like cider, we like palms, we like orchards, having some fun. There is a reason.
There is a reason why we do it like this. Oh, yes, there is.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh, yes, there is.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Oh, yes, there is.
There is a reason. We like walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Oh, yeah.
We like cider.
Oh, yes, we do.
Like palms.
Oh, yes, we do.
We love orchards, having some fun. There is a reason. There is a reason why we do it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum. Ba-da-da-dum.
We like walking down the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Oh, yeah.
We like cider.
Ba-da-da-dum.
We like palms.
Oh, yes, we do.
We like orchards, having some fun.
Yeehaw!